So I am Nate. As Jim said, we've been here about a year next week, and we have been so blessed. We have appreciated everybody welcoming us into the family here, and we do feel like we're at home when we're in Heritage and in Idaho in general. We've just enjoyed it very much. So I retired from the Army a year ago, right before we moved here. And it was a medical retirement. I had some injuries that I wasn't going to heal from. And so the Army said, okay, thanks for your service and goodbye. And from my time serving in the military, what I'm hoping to share with you tonight are some lessons that have really affected me tremendously in my walk with God, in my family life, and so we're gonna are the screens up? I don't know how this works. Let's put the screen up here. Is that? Okay. No? There we go. Okay. So we're going to parallel Psalm 23, and it's titled straight from the text there, In the Presence of My Enemies. And we're going to take a look at some of these lessons, some of these things that God has done in my time. So really, it's a chance to brag, but not about me. I've been to too many of these military talks where it's a lot more about the person up there than about the God that has been doing the work. So it's a chance to brag about God and all the amazing things that he has done. So if you'll read with me Psalm 23, and then we'll open us up in prayer. I haven't forgotten that part. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That psalm is just such a beautiful psalm. It deserves to just stand on its own as we just start us off here. We're not going to look at it expositionally tonight. It's going to be a little bit different, but I still hope that the glory of God shines through, that the we can honor and glorify his word, and that we will still be, we'll be left encouraged and changed by it. So if you'll join me in prayer for a second. Lord, we thank you for working in all of our lives, for being faithful and good through ups and downs, through times that we can have difficulty in seeing your goodness. You are still good. And you've shown yourself constant. I know in my life and I know in all of our lives. So we just ask that you would go before us now as we open up some of these truths, and I pray that you would speak through me, and that you would encourage us today, Lord. I thank you for being here with us. I thank you for this body that gathers on the middle of the week to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to give you the bottom line. This is not about retired Sergeant Nathaniel Castillo. That's me. This is about what God has done through my life and the perfect faithfulness and goodness of God and his shepherding, his leading to green pastures and quiet waters. All of his restoring work in my life. And despite the valleys of the shadow of death, despite all of the trials and obstacles that we go through, and maybe not even despite isn't the right word, it's magnified through those things. It's not only just making the best of that bad situation, he magnifies himself through difficulty in our life. And that is one thing that I think a lot of the military guys that I've talked to here would agree, that difficulty in our life in the military, God glorifies himself only through his goodness. So I can say today, just as that psalm ends with, surely goodness and mercy have followed me. Even though it hasn't always looked the way we would expect goodness to look, it has followed me. And I experienced a lot of brokenness in my military time, physically and in other emotionally, through deployments and through friends that are no longer here with us that have made the ultimate sacrifice. There's a lot of brokenness, but God has been faithful and has been good. So taking a quick look at the background of David in Psalm 23, this is my military background. I see this psalm in a warrior context. David was the author of Psalm 23. Is a warrior king. He is known for slaying the enemies of Israel, for defeating Goliath, for all these different things. And he had his flaws, of course. But this king that is a mighty, mighty warrior, courageous and strong in battle, and actually is viewed even today still as a great tactician in war. He was a man after God's own heart, and he had a complete reliance on his king. That is what I read when I read Psalm 23, is that he is completely relying on his king, and through his warrior achievements, it all comes to fruition because of who his God is. And so there's one key that holds this all together, and it's his absolute dependence on that true king. And that's going to be something I'm going to refer back to several times throughout this, is that I have been placed in different times throughout my military career where I had to recognize God is the only one that is going to get me through this. God is the only one that is going to allow this to be used for good, because there's no other way. So this is what set David and Israel apart. Other surrounding societies in this ancient time, they also use this shepherding analogy. But these other kings in these other societies, they would say, I am the king, I am the shepherd, and I am God. And that was their mentality, that I am the God, I am the thing. And David, he says, yes, I am a king, I am a type of shepherd, but I am no God. In fact, the only reason I can be a king and be a shepherd is because my true God, he is my true shepherd and my true king. So that set him apart from every other society around him at that time. And God is true God, and God is true shepherd. We have to recognize that, and we have to live that truth. Live like he is our true shepherd and our true king. So again, when I read Psalm 23, I read the submission and complete reliance of a mighty warrior king to a great and perfectly faithful God, David's commander, as we have our rank, our chain of command and our rank structure. David recognized his rank was under God, and who had the ultimate authority. So getting into now my military time, I always saw the military as a calling, even as young as this little guy here. He thought that he was going to go, you know, save the world. But from a young age, I always thought I was going to join the military. And as I got older and grew in my faith, I saw it as a calling, as a chance to go and be the light of Christ in the midst of of chaos. I joined as an infantryman, so I was there with the guys. You know, we were there together in our squad, training or deployed, whatever. We were one unit, and I was always when I was joining, I was asked like, why, if you want to be this impact for God, why don't you go be a chaplain or something? And I just, knowing the type of guys that I wanted to impact, you have to be with them. You have to be in it with them. And so that's what I did. And fast forward, this is that little boy. He comes to, this is where our family was together, and we had our little ranger baby there. And that's just seeing the work that God has done to get me to where he put me to be used for him. Even though I had a bunch of detours along the way, it's just, to me, I have to step back and just say, God, I don't know how you did that, but you did, and I didn't. You see, I enlisted at 30 years old. Can you imagine a grown 30-year-old being with these 17 to 21-year-olds 24/7 for months and months and months? Talk about trials. But again, this is one of my themes here. His timing, not mine, because I never would have wished that on myself, but it is how it worked out. I spent in basic training, actually before we went to basic training, I had to explain to the guy that I was rooming with before we got on an airplane to go to basic training in Georgia that Fort Benning, Georgia was not another country. I was like, what have I done? What have I gotten myself into? And then all throughout basic training every day, breaking up fights over, oh, well, he looked at me this way, or he took the last scoop of food, or whatever it is. It was hard, to say the least. Talking about shepherding, it was like herding cats. Just, okay, come on, let's be together, let's be a team, we could do this. And that's what brings to mind verses 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. It was in the midst of this chaos, and if I'm being honest, I had some regret right away, not because it was hard, but because it was ridiculous. I didn't know if I could do it. But you see, the amazing thing about his leading to green pastures and still waters is that what makes that so good is that we live in a world that is not full of green pastures and quiet waters. It's not like, so when I used to think of this passage, I used to picture this wide open field of just rolling hills of green everywhere you can see. That's not how it is for us. When he leads us to green pastures, it is a special thing because we live in a wicked world. And I was living in a wicked place with these kids, with these knuckleheads. So he was so faithful to me that he brought me, I call them the faithful few. It was the three of us that each of us joined in some weird way that the world would just say, oh, what a coincidence. But I know that God was behind that. And one of them was 1 year older than me, so he was the old guy. So I liked that. But God used us. We were drawn to each other as we found out more about each other. We, in our little bit of free time, would do Bible studies with us three, and then other guys would be like, "Hey, what are you doing? We want to join." And then we had a few guys that said, "Can we be baptized?" And we looked at each other, "Can we baptize them? I don't know." Well, let's take them to the shower. We baptize them. I don't know how. They wanted to be baptized, so we helped them make it happen. I still don't know how I feel about that. Anyways, God was we started seeing some light. We started seeing the way God would use us being there together. And it blessed each one of us. Because again, it was that peace in that chaos. And so this is that basic training. The three of us, we all ended up having ranger contracts. So we were together from basic training all the way through ranger selection, which we'll get into in a little bit. But it's just, again, the world would say, what a coincidence. There weren't many ranger contracts in our group there. There was just a handful, and all three of us were one of them. So this was one of the ways that we saw God's providence. And it makes me think of a verse that I'm sure we're all very familiar with here, Romans 8:28. And just how good God is. Even I know we're talking about, you know, going to basic training and it's not the end of the world, but God knew that we needed what he gave us there. So Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we believe that each of us were there for as a ministry. And so we were a gift from God to one another, a refreshment and a type of green pasture and still water in the midst of chaos. So onward from basic training and upward, because it was airborne school, we learned to jump out of perfectly good airplanes for the first time. And I'll never forget the first jump that I had. I was the first jumper, and you just see the world going by, and they say jump, and you have to jump, and it's just a weird thing. Anyways, get through airborne school without any issues. We make it to ranger selection, which is tryouts to be a ranger, to be in ranger regiment, one of the special operations units in the Army under SOCOM, Special Operations Command. And it is 8 weeks of getting your teeth kicked in. It is 8 weeks I believe they have it down to a science, how much they can push you before you die. Because they want to see how many people are going to break and quit. I saw so many people, younger kids, that were physically way more fit, but mentally and even spiritually were weak. And so they would weed people out. They would make people drop from the physical demand, the emotional demand, the spiritual demand. And it has about a 50% drop rate. And I always just say I was too dumb to quit. I just kept showing up and kept doing what they told me to do. But you're pushed to miserable limits. And it was during this time that I came to understand just how refreshing these little moments that I got, these special little moments that I got alone with God. And I saw them as these refreshing moments of green pastures. And it would be that I had an hour to myself to read for the first time in a long time, where I could just read in my little cot. It was the first time we were able to go to church, and the three of us, the faithful few, went to church together and got plugged into a decent church at that time. And then another thing that God used tremendously in ranger selection was land navigation. This is a time where you get a plot of points, coordinates, and you get put into the forest and say, okay, you have this amount of time to go find these different posts, and each post has a unique little stamp that you have to put on it. I loved it because I was away from people. I was in God's beautiful creation, and I would just pray and walk around the forest and run in the forest mostly, get lost in the forest. But it was just such a refreshing time, and it just showed me that land navigation was not a blessing to many people, but it was to me, and just how special, how intimate God is in that way, that he gives us these moments. So those were my my little green pastures in Ranger selection. And again, just on a daily basis, getting pushed to your limits. If you make it through and you become a ranger, you're in a SOCOM unit ready to deploy right away. So they have to push you. They have to, if you have any doubt in your mind that you're going to quit or not, they have to know, and they have to push you to the point where you do quit, because you're real close to going out into combat right after that. That needed to happen. So I needed him. It was at a point where I had great difficulty. So I needed God. And man, might he use difficulty in our lives to draw us closer to him? When you look at it that way, and people argue that how can a good God allow bad things to happen to people, they're looking at it completely wrong. Because God will use difficulty in our lives to draw us closer to him. So this next picture I'm going to share, it came the day we got back from our hell week in Ranger Selection. As if the rest of the 8 weeks wasn't hard enough, there's one week especially hard, and this is how we looked right after. That was me and the guy that was 1 year older than me. Yes. And we said, we need to take a picture before all our sweat dries. And we just made it through the hell week. And if you make it through that week in Ranger Selection, for all intents and purposes, you're going to be a ranger. You've passed the hardest thing. The next couple weeks is some easier training, some admin work, things that you have to go through before graduation. You're there. You've done it. One of the last things that you have to do is a PT test. You've done many PT tests to get there, but there's one more PT test. Well, in that picture, you could probably see that we went through a lot of difficulty, I would say, and we did a lot of water punishment, and I got pneumonia. And so I knew I was sick. It was sick. I knew I was sicker than just a cold. And if I told them, I would be automatically recycled. So I didn't say anything, and I just hoped that I could get past that final PT test. And in my mind, it made sense. God, this is what God wants. Go on the 5-mile run and boom, collapse straight to the hospital. And they find out, oh, you had pneumonia? And they're mad at me about it because I wasn't telling them about it. So I had to recover and start all over again with my two buddies passing through. So that was so hard, where I thought I had it all figured out. No, I have my support group. I have my two guys, and you know, we're in this together. God is going to pull through at the last second and get me through this. No, he had this planned out for me. This is how he designed for me to become a ranger. This is what I had to do. So I was devastated. Like I said, my two brothers are gone. I felt alone and angry. I felt like I was letting down my loved ones. All these emotions you're going through, none of it are really good emotions. And so I had to take a step back. I had to stop feeling sad for myself, come to my senses that I was not alone, but that God, through this, was my constant. That God hasn't changed. My circumstances have, big time, but God is still there. And so I had an even more intimate time with him. I started, and this is where I think of verse 3, that part of verse 3, where he restores my soul. Oh, we had some true restoring moments when he got me alone. And I was left in, I had to recover in this room where I was by myself for a long time. And God used that. God used this dark time of mine and completely turned it upside down. And I needed to see that my sustainer and provider was none other than Almighty God. It wasn't my friends. It wasn't even becoming the ranger. If God didn't allow that to happen, he would still be good. And it was just an incredible time where I stopped feeling bad for myself. I started thinking, okay, now I basically went through the whole course, so I could tell my next class like what to prepare for and how to make them perform well. And I did, and I was a leader in that group, and was in a position where I could be a light for Christ to some of them, and some of them became longtime friends of mine. So it was not as depressing as I made it sound, as I felt like it was. God got me through it. And this next picture is graduation with my parents and my aunt. A lot thinner there. Man, looking at these pictures, kind of sad. So verse 3, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. For his namesake. So I won't go into the details, but the two guys that I have been going through this whole time with, they got held up in after graduating. So they were still there when I graduated. So we were kind of together for some time. And then we're like, okay, we got this figured out. God has us here. There's three battalions. The Ranger Regiment has three different places that you can go to. But we know that he's keeping us together. He's got it. He's going to keep us together. One to each battalion. That's just how it works. You have no say in it. Each went to a different place. But his ways are so much better than ours. Because we've kept in contact. We're still good friends to this day. And we've each talked about the ways that God has used us in incredible ways with different groups of guys that we served with. And so it was neat to see that we maintained our friendship, but God dispersed us for reasons that we didn't think of, but he did. And which makes me think of Proverbs 16:9, which I find myself reading all the time because I think I got it figured out all the time. But the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, and that is just so true. So that little boy got to where he was called to in Ranger Regiment. I loved it. I was a kid in the candy store, kind of happy, just. You know, you're in a SOCOM unit, which means that you have all this funding. So you get all the fun things, the fun training, the good training. If you're into these kinds of things, you know, jumping from airplanes and fast roping out of helicopters. And I loved it. But I it's a dangerous place to be when you feel like you've arrived. And just being honest with you guys, I did. I felt like, hey, I've done it. I've gotten there. You find yourself not relying on God the way you need to be. And I did. I went through seasons of forgetting my calling, and looking a lot more like the guys around me than looking like Christ for them. And God was always faithful to wake me up from that. And he did it through being good. His goodness, his steadfastness. It was, I always knew I was getting closer to them than I was to him. And I felt miserable because I didn't have his goodness in my life at that time. So his goodness always drew me back. He was always able to draw me back with that. and something I didn't deserve, you know, that continually drawing me back in his mercy and his grace. He just continued to be God and faithful in me, drew me into his sheepfold. And some of my favorite ways that I experienced his goodness during this time that were life-changing were my beautiful family. That I went all this time so far into becoming a ranger, early ranger, not being married to my beautiful bride. There we are. Oh, that was a wedding. I thought it was a ranger ball for a second, but that's, never mind. I won't say anything about that. And our little guy there, our blessed family, are shepherded by God, by our faithful God. We had some very good godly friends at that time that we linked up with that are probably still some of our closest friends to this day. And God was just, his goodness, his faithfulness, it just continued to draw us, and we got plugged into a good church. We were blessed. We felt good. But being blessed doesn't mean we don't have difficulty and hardship. As the psalm continues into verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the valley of the shadow of death, it's a good description I've heard of that phrase, is a perilously threatening environment. And being in the military and being at the operation tempo of the unit that I was in, you are well acquainted with death, and you are well acquainted with perilously threatening environments. They don't send you off to Hawaii. I know people are stationed there, but as far as deployments go, and that's what I'm going to get into here, is some of the deployments. It's hard on a family to be apart. That alone, but to have a family member in a dangerous location. I know it was hard on our family. It was hard for me to be away from my family, but it was hard on them knowing the danger that I was in. And it's just not natural to be in such wicked environments. And it's a type of valley of the shadow of death. It's easy to let fear set in, but what does it say here? If pull it up again, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because for you are with me. So it's easy to get into, to let fear set in. But when we realize whose hands we are in, and getting back to David for a second, he is saying these words while being pursued by his enemies. It's not all happy times that he's going through to say the things that we read about in Psalms. David can say this because of who his God was. And Paul had the same outlook. Whoops, what did I do there? I didn't put that in my notes, so I am just going to read it. Romans 8:35-39. We started off with Romans 8:28, so let's continue. Romans 8:35-39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, I think especially as Christians in America, we too often associate God's goodness with what is good to us. That's not what we read in the scriptures. Paul is saying, no matter what happens to me on this earth, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I hope that my family would have the same attitude of thankfulness and praising God for his goodness if things didn't go as smoothly as they did for me. I don't think that I have a good testimony because I came back from deployments. God is good no matter what. And that's what we see in David and in Paul there. This is what complete reliance looks like. So as much as David was acquainted with the valley of the shadow of death, he was even more familiar with his shepherd and with his king. And he was even more familiar with the truth of relying on that king than he was with any of the fear that he experienced. And he experienced a lot of fear. Actually, and what I think David's greatest fear is to not have God as his shepherd. Psalm 27:9, and this is just an example. He says similar things in other Psalms. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Him belonging to God, him being in his flock, being his sheep, him not being those things was a greater fear than the real, very real enemies that he encountered. All other fears pale in comparison. On deployments, having been shot at, having experienced explosions nearby, having indirect fire, direct fire, those are things that are weird things that you don't think you should experience as a human being, and they're scary. But even more than that, because I'm in God's hands, I had peace. I could have this peace that surpasses all understanding because I was in his hands. When God has us walking through perilously threatening times in our lives, in all of our lives, trials, illness, joblessness, whatever the case is, he is the one firm foundation we have to rely on, and he is good. And he is God. Can we stand there and say, it is well with my soul, as we won't go into the story of that hymn, but there's a lot of things going on in his life that he could have had an out to say, it is not well with my soul right now. But he was able to say, it is well with my soul, because he saw the bigger picture. And are we able to do that? Verse 5 in our text. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. The scene painted here, what I picture when David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, is one of being surrounded, of being encompassed by your enemy. And David experienced that often. You know, so God doesn't always take our enemy out of the picture. I don't know if he rarely does that, but he sustains us in the midst of that chaos. Through my deployments, I gained a deeper understanding of this verse, of being surrounded by people that want you dead. It's and I'm sure some of the other military guys here that have experienced the same thing can vouch for this, that again, it's a strange feeling to be surrounded by people that want to kill you. One of the times that I experienced this the most was at these towers. I won't share the location of it I think that's still a secure thing. But what was happening at these towers is some of the most wicked thing that I had ever been closely by. See, ISIS used to use these towers. They would capture Christians and lead them up the stairs and push them off. I'm sorry if that is hard for some of you, and it is hard, because these are faithful Christians that remain faithful to the moment of their death, and that's just a small example of how wicked ISIS is. They are constantly trying to find evil ways to end lives, especially of Christians. But when the U.S. got involved in this area, we did away with a lot of ISIS, and we took this location and made it a base of our operations, where good work is being done at this place that was originally used for these evil acts. So I was there for some time. And it was hard. It was hard for me just knowing that we had these faithful Christians die here. But then I went up to the, you could still go up the towers. Went up to the top of the tower and started doing my devotion time up there. And I just felt like it was like God was showing me, like, hey, the evil act that was done here, you aren't letting that stop you from worshiping me, from coming. I am setting this table before you in this place of wickedness, in a place that we would think of as being a wicked place. He is saying, I'm going to set a table before you here, and you're going to worship me. And it was just a beautiful time. It kind of turned a switch for me. When you take your eyes off that which is easily seen as fearful, and seek to honor and glorify him, I believe we find being able to glorify him in a lot more situations, in a lot more circumstances than we would have first thought. It makes me think of 2 Kings chapter 6. And I kind of just got a couple verses here because I knew I was going to be getting close on time. Got to land this pretty soon. But this is when Elisha and his servant are surrounded by their enemy. And we'll pick up here in verse 15. It says, now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he prayed that God would open his eyes, and he did. And the servant saw, oh, we have way more there, where he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. How true is that for us when we have God, who is far greater than anything that could ever be thrown at us? When we think of it that way, I think we're better able to look past the fear, look past the wickedness, and see what God has set before us in order to worship him, in order to honor him and to glorify him. And so in the midst of wickedness all around us, I would take my Bible up to anytime I found a place that was high up. I don't know. Guys always... I think humans, we just always want to go up to the highest thing. I would go to the top of the building and read. And those are mountains of people surrounding us that are constantly shooting at us. But I knew I was in God's hands. And this is a worship service, an Easter worship service. So when you do things like this, there's no timeouts. There's no like, hey guys, we're gonna have this Easter service, so if you could just stop launching those missiles at us for a while, that'd be great. But we, and it was, I think it, the times that I was there is always a debate, like, are we going to have the Easter service on the top of the building or not? Like, well, that's where we want to have the worship service. So, yeah, we should do that. And but it's just such a to me, this was my table in the presence of my enemies, that God would allow us to take the time to gather together as fellow believers to worship him, to honor him. And it was just a special, special moment. And then the last verse of Psalm 23, surely goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely that certainty, that goodness and mercy will follow me. And it has, and it will, and it has for you. I know it has. But like I said, I want to emphasize this because I think we need to hear it more. It's not true because I came back after each deployment. It's not true because he got me to Ranger Regiment. It's true because he is God. And because he is in control. He is our sovereign Lord. The point I'm hoping to bring across tonight is that his goodness follows us no matter what happens. My brokenness, injuries, both physical and emotional, those hurt. But he has a plan for it all. And I've already seen ways that he has been able to use what I've experienced with other veterans, with other people that I've had a chance to talk to. I've seen how he will use those broken moments for his glory. And again, it's not despite those things, but it's directly through those things that I have seen how he has brought opportunity to share with others and to bring glory to God. Goodness does not equal good to me. That's what we need to hone in on. And then lastly here, something that I like to ask myself when I read a text is, what does the passage reveal about me or us? What does the passage reveal about the character of God? And what does it reveal about the redemptive plan in the gospel of Christ? And what the passage reveals about me is how desperately I need him. How desperately I need to rely on him every moment. What does the passage reveal about the character of God? His perfect faithfulness and sovereign control in all circumstances. What is the phrase, there's not one rogue molecule? Yeah. And what does it reveal about the redemptive plan in the gospel of Christ? That he is our good shepherd, and he's our true green pasture that we're waiting for, that we are waiting to be with Christ. See, these promises of faithfulness and of goodness and mercy, they aren't a blanket statement. I hear this psalm more than any Bible, other Bible scripture. Maybe I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in a worldly way, in a way that the world has taken claim to and says, yes, you see, we can hold on to this. We as the world, not as Christians, that he's going to be good to us, that he's going to be faithful to us. These are true and realized only in the person of Christ. Only because he has defeated the ultimate death, the ultimate valley of death in sin, in our sin. His defeating of that for us is what, and imputing his righteousness to us is what gives us the ability to experience his faithfulness and his goodness in every circumstance. Again, that Romans 8:28, for those who are called, those that belong to him. So take great confidence and comfort that these words are true for us. And I know that you know that because you guys are here on Wednesdays. but it's just that is what God has done in my time in the military. And I will say it again. I believe this from the bottom of my heart, that if I only joined the army for God to allow me to meet my wife, it'd be worth it. And if he had me go through what he had me go through so that I could be used for him more, then I accept every injury. I accept every heartache that I've had for if it's going to bring him glory. So I thank him for that. And I thank you for listening. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for being our steadfastness in a world of chaos and in a world of shifting. You are firm. And we thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we would honor you and glorify you in all aspects of in all things that we go through, that we would take a deeper look at some of the difficulties and trials that are in our lives, and see how they would glorify you, how we would use them to bring others to know you and to honor you. We thank you, God, and we ask that you'd go before us the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.